Dear Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you're here with us this morning. Lord, I pray that you will open up our hearts. We ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you. We pray for a divine hunger and thirst for you. Lord, that we give our lives and submit our lives wholly unto you, to love you, to fear you, and to serve you with all of our hearts, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. So speak to us this morning. For he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the churches. Here we are, Lord. Let our eyes be open. Let the Scriptures be open. Let our hearts be open. Grant us visions and dreams. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, last week we opened up Nehemiah chapter 8, and we saw how, as we read the Scriptures, that as Ezra began to open the Scriptures, people were keen to listen. Now, we heard about how he not only opened the book of the law, but there was a few things, and perhaps I'm just going to read the outline of what we mentioned last week to give us a bit of an idea of the whole of chapter 8. Or perhaps we'll just read Nehemiah chapter 8 again. And we're going to read it from verse 1 to verse 18. And I just want to pay attention to some verses here, some very important verses, which I believe are very significant here in this time. Now, as we've been emphasizing, there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, whether we like it or we don't like it. You know, God said that he would pour out his Holy Spirit, his Spirit upon all flesh, you know, that we will prophesy and see visions and dreams. And Pastor Joseph was just saying just now that it's a very significant month. This is the ninth month. This is 2019. As far as the Hebrew year is concerned, it's 5779. And so there's the number 9 is very significant. And it's interesting that in the Hebrew number 9, which is also a letter, all right, it's called Tate. And that letter is basically a basket. And that basket is to contain things. And some say that that basket actually looks like a womb. So if you can picture that in a moment, number 9, we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's talking about it. It's a picture of a basket or of a womb of birthing forth right now. So I do believe it's a very significant month because on the 29th as well, as you hear, as far as the Jewish feasts are concerned, and the Messianic Jews or the Christian Jews, we'll be celebrating because they're following the feasts that are in the Bible that was ordained by God, and they're just using the timing. And on the 29th is the Feast of Tabernacles. But I believe it's prophetically very significant, as I briefly mentioned last week. And I can sense it in my spirit. Very strongly. I know for sure, this recent period of time, you can sense in my spirit that there's something fresh that God is doing. You know, and we just worship and just begin to connect with the Lord. There's something in my spirit that's just vibrating, or I don't know how to describe. There's this There's this stirring inside my spirit. I can sense. I don't know if you can sense it, but I do believe that it is a very significant time, and it is a time of transition, and there are greater things that are in store, and we are entering into that. Amen. Very significant. So I want you to see this morning that God is doing something. God is opening doors for us, and God is causing us to enter into the greater things that he has for us. And this is just the tip, perhaps just the beginning, but I really sense in my spirit this morning that God is moving in our midst. Really, I want you to receive that and believe that. And then perhaps we'll talk a little bit more sometimes. Sometimes we hear like, oh, people are healed and people feel God in the worship. And perhaps sometimes others feel like, I don't know what he's talking about because I don't feel what he's talking about. All right? But I'm convinced, I am persuaded that God is moving. There's a grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit that's being poured upon our hearts. I want to declare this morning. This is what I feel, that God is really stirring our hearts, turning our hearts towards Him so much in a new way. And I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare, Lord God, that there will be a hunger and a thirst that is activated right now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we just speak right now to every person in this room to come alive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I make a declaration in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that at the sound of the word of God, as the word of God is sounded forth, dead bones will come alive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Before we read Nehemiah chapter 8, I want to quickly verbalize Isaiah chapter 59 verse 11, which I did last week. It says, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. And my emphasis last week was the spirit and the word. I cannot know Jesus. I cannot know God without the Word and without the Holy Spirit. I cannot truly worship God without the Word and without the Holy Spirit. And I believe that I said as we're entering into this significant season that God is opening the book. God is opening our eyes. God is opening the scriptures by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit that we might be drawn closer and closer and nearer to Him. Amen? When you read the book of Ezekiel, and I'll just say that in passing, one of the verses, words that are repeated throughout that book, you'll find, you'll see is that they may know that I am the Lord. All right? And it's very important. I want to know that the things that God is even doing, even all around our lives, personally, in the church, in the body of Christ, all around the world, that we may know the judgments of God and all of the things that we see, right, that we might know that He is the Lord. So I pray, this is what we want to see. We want to see the Lord God Almighty. So let's read Nehemiah chapter 8. Are you there? Okay, I will encourage you here, if you have your Bible, open up to the book. 18 verses, but the idea is repeated a number of times, so I just thought it would be good to just read it. All right, so Nehemiah chapter 8. All right, we're talking about this morning this drawing of God to be one with Him through the Word and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about four things this morning. But let's read Nehemiah chapter 8 first. It says this. Well, I'm going to read the end part of verse 73 of the previous verse. Which says this, when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. In verse chapter 8 now, verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Now I just want to give you some background here really quickly, is that these were the people that came out of the captivity in Babylon. All right, so they previously before that for 70 years, they were where? In captivity. Now they have gone out of captivity now, they've gone out of Babylon, and they've gone to build the city, the temple and the wall of Jerusalem, all right? So this is what they're saying here. Now as they've done that, as they're coming together to build that, what are we seeing here? They gathered as one man, all right, at the open square. Okay, verse 2. So what were they doing there together at that point in time? So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. I've already mentioned last week why seventh month was very significant, very prophetic, significant timing. Verse 3, Then Ezra read from it in the open square that was in the front of the water gate from morning until midday. And I'm going to declare right now, okay, this is not really part of the message, but I feel I'm going to declare right now that there's going to be in our hearts such a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Morning till midday doesn't matter, but there will be such a longing and to go into God's Word. Amen? Amen. So we declare that right now in the name of Jesus, a hunger and a passion and a zeal for your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Where were we? Verse 4. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform on which wood, where they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uhijah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and at his left hand Pedariah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashum, Hashbana, Dana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Verse 5. Thank you. I think I did try hard enough, right? You can tell me if I did a good job or a terrible job. It's all right. But verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. See, there's a response there, okay? Can you see that? Verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen. Amen. While lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse 7. And also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jezabad, Hanan, Beliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the Lord, and the people stood in their place. Verse 8. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and it gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Don't you enjoy it when you actually understand what you're hearing? All right, we already talked about that last week, right? Okay, I'm just trying to continue and flow on from what we did last week. Verse 13, all right, this is the section we didn't read. Now, on the second day of the heads of the fathers' houses, all the people with the priests and Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to do what? To understand the words of the law. Okay, so we have this thought repeated here again. Verse 14, and they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. What's the feast of the seventh month? If anyone know, can you call it out? Feast of Tabernacles, thank you. And verse 15, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of old trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. And then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths in each one on the roof of his house, or in their courtyards, or in the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly, not some of them, the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. They kept a feast for 7 days, and on the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. Now, I hope you're following the train of thoughts here, what they're doing. They had gone into captivity. They could not keep the feast. They could not do In fact, we just read that they could not keep the feast since the days of who? Joshua, the son of Nun. Joshua, the son of Nun. Wow. What is that telling us? God is bringing about a restoration. Everything that's written in His Word, God is going to restore it. So we declare this morning, God, according to Your Word, that You say that You will not return until the restoration of all things, of all that the prophets have declared. So Lord, we pray, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You are restoring. You're restoring us from glory to glory. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth, the progressive truth and the progressive revelation of Your plan and Your purposes. For Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to, I've got on the screen here really quickly, the outline of that chapter here, the ones that we want to focus on. And this is what we had last week. The first thing we saw is Ezra brought the book of law. Everybody verbalize with me. Number one, Ezra. Number two. So he brought the book on the first day of the seventh month. And I told you that is a very significant time. The seventh month, God's number, seven, perfection. And it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Point number three. Okay, so it was what? The book was open and the ears of them all who could understand and attentive. Do you qualify for that? Amen. All right. Number four. What did Ezra do? Number five, what do these, we see them do? As we see them worship. They bow down their heads, lifting up their hands, worshiping the Lord. Can you see that here? The book being open, worship being expressed. Can you see that? Can you see that as we read it? Next one here, number six. Come on, you help me. Okay, one more time. One, two, three. I think I'm going to change my job. I'm going to be a maestro now. I'm going to... One, two, three. Right? Okay, just kidding. Okay, number eight. They practice what they read. How do I know they practice what they read? Because we just read, when they found out that it was the meant to keep the feast of the seventh month, what did they do? They went to get leaves and build the booths and keep it for 7 days. Amen? So they read something, they're like, oh, we're supposed to keep that. We didn't keep that for a long time, but now we're going to keep it again. All right, so that's just a brief overview so that we have an idea what that book is, what that chapter is telling us, okay? And what are some of the thoughts that we want to emphasize on what God is doing. So last week was God is opening the book, opening our eyes by the Holy Spirit, and His Word is being opened to us. Now, these four things I want to quickly declare is this, and we're going to major on verse 13 now to verse 18. And the first one is this, the Lord is helping us to understand the Word of God. In verse 13, we read that already. Now on the second day of the heads of the father's house and all the people with the priests and Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. Then we also read in earlier chapters and how they were all gathered, all who had understanding. Say, all who had understanding. All who could listen. Okay, but here we find that God appointed Ezra the scribe and the priest, right? And the Levites to help the people understand. You know, when we come together... You know, I'm all for, let me say this. I think one of the dilemma that sometimes we do is we like to dissect things in life. Like, we are, what are we? We are human beings, right? We're men. We're men made in the image and likeness of God. Is that true? What are we? Spirit, soul. Come on, help me, everybody. We are spirit, soul, and body, all right? Now, God is also a triune being. Is that true? What is he? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, okay? Now, there are three distinct persons. I am not trying to say they're not, but yet they're one, okay? And we see throughout the scriptures how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even from the very beginning, the Old Testament, they were operating throughout the same. You see, and we like to look at ourselves, and we are spirit, soul, and body. We don't deny that, right? There are three aspects of who we are, but that makes us who we are. But we like to separate it. This is my spirit, my mind, and my body. And if we leave and approach this as if like, oh, this is just for the spirit, just for the mind, just for the body, and we try to live life as three, like as if they're different parts, and they're not like, you know. But I, in God's mind, in fact, the Jewish Hebrew thinking would be, you're one person, spirit, soul, and body. So when you talk about salvation, it's not just my spirit is saved. God wants to bless my mind. God wants to bless my body. Everything, the whole thing is one. That's who I am. Is that true? Our salvation is not just the spirit. There's the salvation of our minds and the salvation of our body. We're going to receive a new body when Jesus returns. Glorious body, not a new, glorious body, right? So what I'm trying to say is we tend to dissect things out. We try to separate our church life with family life and work life. It's different. Rather than seeing it as this is who I am in God, this is where God places me. This is one life. I have one life, not multiple lives. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? So not trying to dissect everything, right? But in all things, this is what makes me who I am. So then we have one life. So we talk about, you know, coming together here. I want to talk about really quickly here. We're coming together where God appoints people to help us understand the Word of God. Now, some of us might say, well, you know, I read my Bible personally, and so God speaks to me, and I'm all for that. Because I spend time with the Lord, and I do believe God tells me things that I need to do for my life personally, all right? But sometimes we like to separate things. This is my personal walk. This is church walk. So I am more the type of a personal one-on-one on God. And so we forget about the church aspect of it. Or we can go the other extreme. We have the church aspect, and then we don't have the personal walk with the Lord. Does that make sense? Right? But we can't separate the two because the two are part of the one and the same coin. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, but then love your neighbor as you love yourselves. Is that true? Are we to separate the two commandments? Does that mean I'm only going to love God and the rest of the people around me? Doesn't really matter. As long as I love God, whether I love them, doesn't matter because my first and the greatest commandment is to love God. But the idea is the oneness of that commandment. Because I love God, I'll love my neighbors. Does it make sense? All right. We're going to get the same full picture. God wants to equip us. God wants to bless us. God wants to give us more. But we got to not restrict our minds as limited mindsets. Religious mindsets. Amen? So I'm going to say get connected. Because When you get connected and God begin to open the Word, all right, what you're going to find is there's going to be joy. There's going to be great joy. And I declare that you're going to find there's an excitement and a great joy in your spirit, in our spirits. I can't tell you how many times, I sit down. I'm on a personal level. God speaks to me. You journal. You do whatever you want to do in prayer, in whatever. And you get excited, right? But I can't tell you how many other times when I'm not on a personal, in a personal situation, and God is just listening to others, you know, hearing what God is saying through them, creates an excitement. You're like, wow, it opens up so many more avenues. So I don't live by just the one. I learn to embrace the entirety of it all. Does it make sense? Are you with me so far? All right, so the Lord wants to help us, but we must be willing to receive the help. God is setting over his church, is appointing the fivefold ministry to empower us this morning. So I'm going to say, open our hearts for this. Get connected. Jesus is speaking to the seven churches. Jesus is speaking to us right now. So we ask in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. Number two, God is aligning us with his timing. When God begins to speak his word, which is eternal, it begins to set eternity in our hearts. It sets like a body clock, a time in our lives. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the chiefs who were 200 and all their brethren at their command. What was so special about the sons of Issachar? They understood the times. And they knew what they ought to do. Would you like that? I want that. You see, and when God begins to speak his word, like we hear the prophetic word, which is confirming what God is speaking in our hearts, and it just it aligns us, it sets us, it puts us back on track. And I'm sure you've heard my personal testimony many times, but that scripture that's on the screen right now was one of the key scripture that really, really set me on time. And I'll just share the gist of it. When I was battling into going into, okay, should I quit my job and do pastoring on a full-time basis, I struggled with the thought, when is the time, Lord? When do you want me to make that shift? I asked myself. I was battling with that thought over and over again until I received the word of God in my spirit. I tell you, the moment I received that word, everything, every fear, every discussion, everything just literally dropped, just like that. I'm saying that when God speaks a word, it just sets something in our hearts, eternity set in our hearts to do his will, and it just sets a clock in our spirit, man. Amen? So get ready, because God is opening his word. Like Ezra opened his word, and we're not talking about Ezra here, but we're all talking about Jesus. By the Holy Spirit, is opening the word of God to us right now. And what he wants to do is he wants to set you and I on assignment and on his timing. All right, so now we want to believe God that he's setting us on the right, in the right timing, the seasons. We got to discern the times and the season as people are proclaiming, as God is proclaiming his word and his voice. We're going to discern and understand what we ought to do. Number three, obedience follows what we heed. Obedience follows what we heed. Now, as you can see here, they understood what they didn't do. The people here in the Bible, as we read that chapter here, they knew they failed to keep the feast. And when they heard it and when they read it from the book of the law, from the first five books of the Bible, what did they do? They obeyed, did they? They responded to it, right? Not only they worshiped, they responded and said, let us do what is right in the sight of God. And they did. So they heard, everybody say they heard, and they acted on it, right? That is, to be honest, that's probably one of the very thing that kills us as Christians, all right? We hear many things, true? We hear a lot of things. In fact, we're not short on teachings when it comes to the Word of God. I mean, you have it all. There are books. You can find resources everywhere. We hear a lot of things, right? But it's the other aspect, which what pastors always say is, then you tell me how to do it. How? I know what. How? 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 I'm very good. Thank you. Yeah, that's how I feel. All right, but how is it? And you see, the understanding of that word, listen. Do you know in the Bible where it says listen? Take heed. That word, listen, it's a Hebrew word called shama. And that word is used not only in terms of listening and hearing. It's the same word that's used for the word obedience. Are you with me so far? So that word listen, that Hebrew word shema, is not just to hear something coming in here and coming out there, or I heard you. How many times we've heard, all right, as a child I can say, oh yeah, I heard my mom, I heard my dad, but he just went here and there and didn't really get what they said. Didn't really follow through with what they said, but I heard them. I heard sounds, I heard syllables, I heard some form of language. I believe it was Creole in my context. And it went here and it went to the other side and yeah, didn't register it, but I heard it. See, that's our understanding of hearing, all right? But the understanding of that Hebrew word is what you take heed, or what we listen to is an obedience that follows out of hearing. That means it demands an action. The concept behind that word is I hear something that demands an action. For example, can I give you something to think about here? When you and I pray to God, you know that in the Psalms it says, "Oh Lord, hear my cry, hear my prayer. Hear me, O Lord, do not turn your face away from me." Do you know that? You know, the Psalms, he talks about that. Maybe you've been through a situation, you say, "Oh Lord, hear my prayer. Hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer," right? When you say that to God, when you and I say that to God, what are we expecting? That means you want to, not only he hears us, we don't want just God want to hear us, but we want God to act. That means to intervene or do something. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with that? Or do you want just God to hear the prayer and he's like, "Oh, that's a nice prayer. I think you've done well. You've learned well from your Bible studies. You know how to pray. Praise the Lord." I don't think he's just going to sit there and expect God to do nothing and you're like, "Oh, thank you, Lord." We want, that means we're saying, "God, hear my prayer and intervene. I need you." So that word "hear," as we understood it, when we ask God to hear us, when he says to us, "Hear," don't you think it's the same? Do you think so? I think so. I'm going to read a couple of verses really quickly here to get that idea. And I highlighted the word here, and that's the same word, shema, in the Hebrew. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. "Then to Adam, he said, because you have heeded," every say heeded, "listened," all right, "the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you," saying, see, Adam heeded, and heard the voice of the wife and took action. Can you see that? He heeded. Genesis chapter 26, verse 5. Everybody read with me. 1, 2, 3. "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." See that word? Everybody say obeyed. It's the same word as what was used in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Okay? It's the same word. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength." It's the same word "hear" again. Hear. Hear me. God wasn't expecting us to just hear and do nothing about it. It's a hearing that demands an action. So listening and obeying are one part of the same coin. And so we see very clearly here, all right, in the chapter 8 of Nehemiah, they heard and they took action. And God is going to give us grace, I pray, this morning, that what we hear, there's going to be an action that follows out of what we hear. Amen? There's going to be a conviction. I hear the word of God and it's truth. It's exposing something that's in my life and I've got to act upon it. And the last one here, I'm going to say this really quickly, is there's going to be obedience according to the prescribed manner. Everybody verbalize with me. Number 4, obedience. Obedience according to the prescribed manner. Okay, that was in the last verse of that chapter of Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's read it in verse 18. It says, "Also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the 8th day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner." How many times have we fallen into that? I mean, I've fallen into that as well. You see, sometimes we think because salvation is free, right? We, a Christian, are free to do anything. Worship God the way I see fit. Right? Live life as long as I go to Sunday church service, as long as I go midlife group on Wednesdays. I've done my part. I'm a good Christian. God is pleased with me. So as long as I've fulfilled the bare minimum requirements of the Christian life. Oh, and on top of that, I attend prayer meeting. That's an extra little tick there. All right? Like bonus point. So that means we're a little bit more spiritual now, certainly. And we think we have pleased God. That means we're doing the right thing. That means we think that this is the way God is pleased, if I follow this. But I want to say it's more than that. There is a way. It's not what we think, it's what He thinks. For example, I'm going to read Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 to 9. It says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." How? "According to all that I show you," that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishing, "so, just so you shall make it." Can you see? When they had to build the tabernacle of Moses, they're not to build it approximately. Not like, oh yeah, here and there. If I manage to find the materials, I'll do it. If I can't, I'll just do my best. I mean, Lord, I'm sincere. I can't seem to find the material. It would cost me a little bit more extra effort to get it. So Lord, I mean, you understand me. I mean, and what we tend to say is, Lord, you know my heart. I'm sincere. You know what's in my heart. How many of you have ever said that to the Lord? Lord, you know what's in my heart. And usually we use that as an excuse. When we want to find an excuse of not doing what God wants us to do, you're like, yeah, but Lord, you know, I'm sincere towards you. You know what's in my heart. I mean, I've heard people say, you know, I don't need to get baptized. I'm like, well, why not? Didn't Jesus ask us to be baptized and didn't command it? Yeah, but like, this is all the external stuff. You know, like, God knows what's in my heart. Have you heard anything like that before? Or maybe we've been guilty of that ourselves. God knows what's in my heart. He knows. So that simply means it qualifies and justifies my lack of obedience or my lack of taking action, and, you know, and it justifies that because I'm supposedly sincere here. Now, how many of you know that we can be sincere but very sincerely wrong? And sometimes we're sincerely wrong because we're ignorant. We don't know the truth. But once we know the truth, you can't play that card anymore and say, well, Lord, I'm ignorant. All right? So the more we hear the word of God, the more is demanded out of us. And I use the word demand. And maybe we'll talk about that another time, but it really is. Sometimes we think salvation is so free that everything can be. No. When I am freed, when I am set free by the free grace of God, my life does not belong to me anymore. I think we have a hard time as Christians to understand that. But Paul didn't have an issue with that, and he called himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought salvation was free. Yeah, I thought too, right? So what does that mean? Anyway. So we're either sincere in our hearts because we're ignorant, or we're either sincere, or we say we're sincere, but we are not really sincere. We're trying to excuse ourselves, finding an excuse, or we truly are sincere. And I believe that when we are truly, truly sincere, and we're really doing what we have, we're doing with what we have, all that we have, the things of the Lord, God will see to it that He will align our lives. And I believe that. And so I want to put it out there this morning as we conclude now. All throughout His Word, there is a prescribed manner manner. There is a way of approach. There is a pattern. I want to draw in intimacy with God. I want to draw, be one with Him, right? But is it according to what I think? All right. Now, let me say one last thing here in conclusion. And like I said earlier, I said, you know, we are used to, you know, we have an idea of what it means to be intimate with God. And I'm not trying to say that none of you are intimate with the Lord, nor neither I'm not trying to say that what we are doing as individually, whatever we do as individual people, is wrong. All right? But I do believe here that God wants to realign us this morning. Because, you see, when His word comes, He's going to bring adjustment. Do you see that? All right? Now, for all my life, I may have understood what it meant to pray, what it means to read the Bible, what it means to worship. All right? And that's our understanding. So you feel like, okay, the pastor is saying, you know, for example, I give you an example, right? We got to be united. We got to commune. And you're thinking, I'm already doing that. No, but you got to do it this way. But I'm already used to that and I can feel the presence of God already as it is. So I feel like, I feel uncomfortable. I mean, like, I'm already doing it as it is. Why do you want to, like, as if now you're saying that I have no intimacy with God? All right? These are some attitudes that we got to readjust. Okay? Because God wants to take us to another level. Great. What we've been doing for so long may have been very good, may have sustained us for a good season. But what about the season that's now? Are we going to be ready for the next part of the journey? Are we going to be, we're happy? Lord, it's almost like saying, God, you sustained me in the wilderness for 40 years. Why don't you do it for another 40 years? Who would want that? You say, well, you fed us with manna. Our shoes never ran off. You know, we probably didn't smell. I mean, I'm adding that too, right? But, you know, you fed us all the time. You know, you were with us. Your presence was with us. Cloud was leading us, or by night, by fire. I mean, Lord, you took care of us 40 years. All right? You know what? Add another 40 years. Who wants that? I don't think so. Would you rather that? Say, well, keep sustaining me, great, 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 for another 40 years. Or you want to say, Lord, I do want to enter the promised land. I mean, what do you think was the cry of Joshua and Caleb? Oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's take another route in the wilderness. No, I don't think so. So it's like our lives. Great, we had times and God sustained us and God took us through, but that's not going to be enough. I mean, that's not good enough. The wilderness experience, yeah, for a time. We messed up too, but okay, whatever. But God was good nevertheless. God is a merciful God, but He wants to take us beyond. And that's what I'm saying here today. We hear messages like, okay, oh, God's going to open His word. He's going to give us a... I've heard that message before. But I'm saying, let's pray this and understand this as I am going to really enter into something great and there's something God is doing. And I, like I said at the start of this, the message, I really feel that there is something different in the air, different in the atmosphere. I don't know if you can sense it, but for real, it is there. I mean, I don't want to try to overflower it with words and make you feel like, oh yeah, the Lord is here when He's not here. But I really do sense that, and I'm seeing that sincerely. All right, so there is a shift, and we have to align ourselves. So I'm going to really quickly verbalize those 4 points, and we're going to make that as a declaration this morning. Because, you know, God wants us to be united with Him, but we can't be united with Him with our own way. There's God's way. All right, and God wants to help us to be one with Him. So the first thing that God's going to shake is our religious mindsets this morning, okay? So number one is what we talked about is the Lord is helping us to understand the Word of God. Amen? So we declare, Lord, we thank You. We declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord God Almighty, possessor of heaven and earth, the living and the eternal Word, is opening our eyes by the mighty Holy Spirit to help us understand as we submit to your authority, as we submit to your authority, Lord, and your appointed authority, you will multiply the word of God. And there will not be a famine. There is no famine of the word, but there will be no famine of hearing anymore. We break that curse right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that from today onwards, we will surely hear the word of the Lord loud and clear. The voice of God will be louder than the voice of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, no more famine of hearing, no more limitation, no more lack in Jesus' name. But deaf ears right now, be open in Jesus' name. Ears, be open right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two, God is aligning us with His timing. And not apart from His Word. His Word is going to activate all these things. Amen. There's going to be a sense in our spirit that God is moving, God is aligning, God is doing something, God is moving. I got to move along. The clouds is moving, I'm going to move along. Right? You've got the tabernacle. Okay, we've got to unpack everything and load up and go. This is it. This is the time. I hear the sound of the trumpet. Now is the time. I hear the sound of the trumpet. I know what sound it is. I know what's communicating. I know, okay, this now is for assembly. No, now it's for battle. Now it's for this. Okay? So God is aligning us so that we will hear so accurately. Amen? So we declare, Lord, there will be accuracy. Lord, let be an alignment in our spirit. Your word is realigning everything from the inside so that the outside, so that our lives may have the right expression in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Number three, obedience that follows what we heed. Because hearing and obedience are one and the same thing. Lord, we pray. We declare, Lord, you're giving us an ear to hear. And you're giving us an ear so that we can obey what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Lord, we pray for the spirit of obedience. As we submit, Lord, our will completely to yours. Lord, I declare, in this congregation here, this local church, there will be a fear of God. There will be the love of God. And we will serve you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Until our will is completely submitted to your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And the last one was that we were going to obey obedience upon according to the prescribed manner. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the builder of the church. You are building your church. And unless the Lord builds his house, those who labor, labor in vain. And some of you here are trying to build your life according to your own way, your own philosophy, your own thoughts, your own experience, or whatever it is. But unless the Lord builds a house. Some of you, there's some people here who want, you want to succeed in life. You're tired of the same thing running around. And I mean, who doesn't get bored of the same thing every day? Right? Right? When there's no excitement, where there's nothing, which is, I mean, when you look at the normal life, you know, it's just go to work, come back home and sleep and eat and do the same routine every day. Maybe you're stuck in that routine. Or maybe there's something missing because we are trying. And this is what I believe God is saying. We're trying to build life, our lives according to our own flesh, effort, natural mind, natural ways, natural things. But it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You got to do it according. We have to do it according to the word of the Lord. We got to do it according to the power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray right now. I declare in the name of Jesus, realign, shift us and shake us in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord, that your standard is beginning to come into our hearts in the name of Jesus. No longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in the inside of me in the name of Jesus. Well, I thank you that we are being transformed into the same image as we behold him in the mirror, as we behold the word of God, as we see Jesus, as the word of God is being revealed to us, as we see him closer and closer and better and more accurately, as our eyes are being opened in awe of the revelation and the spirit of wisdom, our lives are being transformed even by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. So Lord, we declare this today. In the name of Jesus, there is going to be transformation in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that there's hope for us, Lord. Thank you that we push away our will. We lay down our rights and our wills and our expectations and say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. I want intimacy, Lord. I want intimacy. I have to readjust my own ways. I have to readjust my whole thinking, my theology, my philosophy, my outlook of life, my perspective. You know, there's also this thought coming to me right now is, you know, sometimes our experience of life has shaped our perspective. And God's going to, I believe, I sense in my spirit that God is breaking that right now. We're not going to allow those experiences or the things that happened in life to become the pattern of our lives. In the name of Jesus, no more in Jesus' name. The word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is going to be our pattern. In Jesus' name. So Lord, I pray for the spirit of surrender. Lord, we surrender to you, Lord, right now. We lay it down before you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Perhaps I can have the musicians. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I forgot. Okay, we'll go a cappella. It's okay. The Holy Spirit is still here even without any instruments. We stand to our feet as we conclude this. And perhaps the strongest thing I feel right now is God wants to give us intimacy. I mean, you and I, I'm sure, desire to have intimacy with God. But let's not have it our own way. Amen? God is shifting us this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing this with me. Your spirit is like water. Okay, great. Jesus. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love your name. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love your name. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. And your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. One more time. I love you. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. Lord, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. Love you. just want to pray right now. If someone has a pain in the neck, just right here. All right. The back there. I just want to declare the divine healing. If there's anyone here with a neck pain right now, in the name of Jesus, we command that pain to leave right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come and glorify your name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus, right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing one more time. Your name is like honey
on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love your name. Your name like honey on my lips, your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet.
Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. Say that to the Lord right now. Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Come on, Lord, renew that love right now. Again. Jesus, I love you. Come on, say it with all of our hearts.
I love you.
My Jesus, I love you.
I love you.
My Jesus, I love you. I love you, oh Jesus, I love you. I love you, I love you.
Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, over us, teach us, take us to a new level. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another and consider yourself dismissed.